Jeff's so pretty. So pretty. So pretty and something and something.
Welcome, everybody, all right, to the Off the Field Podcast.
All right, if that's how we're going to start, Jeff, I miss you.
Yeah, you always tell me you want to start them off kind of random.
That is true. That is very true.
I was like, well, there's a window to jump through.
I saw you look at me, too, and that dude, you smiled from ear to ear, and I'm all like, please don't. And you did. Too but late. Welcome back to episode 111.
Don't get it messed up.
Let's Welcome. Get it started with the
followings of Instagrams.
Yes.
Okay. You can follow the podcast, otf.podcast, on Instagram. You can follow me at Austin Kleschka on Instagram.
You can follow me at Instagram at Captain America from Softball.
And then you can make sure you're subscribed to the YouTube channel, Off the Field Podcast. Or what do you even do on Spotify? Follow?
You could hit the follow button.
Yeah.
Or I think there's a subscribe button on Apple Podcasts. Okay. And be sure to rate us 5 stars.
Yes, I think we are still rocking that rating, I believe. I did not have it pulled up right away, but it's been rocking for 3 seasons. So we are a 5-star Muy Bueno podcast.
Look at that. Perfecto. And
you want to talk about Muy Bueno. Perfecto. Denzel Clark.
Oh, my God. What a name the last 24 hours.
Well, I'd say longer, honestly. But Whoa. Especially the one he just made. I'm sorry we didn't talk about you before. I'm sorry this is the first time we've ever talked about you on the podcast. But after what I just saw with my own eyes in person, holy moly, Denzel Clark. You are insane. So, Denzel Clark, for those that don't know, center fielder for the Athletics. Not the Oakland. Not the Las Vegas. Not the Sacramento. Just the Athletics.
The Athletics.
He climbed the wall in center field to rob Nolan Shanwell of a home run that was well over that fence.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you, I was there. I did not record it because me and my homie Revis were switching seats. And I'll be transparent with all of you on how I record when I go to baseball games. I record the first inning. I record the big batters after that, like, you know, the Bryce Harpers, the Acuñas, the Trouts, the Otanis.
The Wendos, the...
Yeah.
The
Willits.
The Brent Lillibridges.
Yeah, of the world. The Middlebrooks.
Exactly.
So that's my pattern. Or when it's like pretty obvious that a team might score like second and third, no outs or something like that. That's usually when I'm recording. So the catch did happen in the first inning. But we had just moved to some newer seats that Greg the Usher told us we could sit at.
Nice.
And I sat down, and there was this big dad in front of me. And where Revis was sitting, there was nobody in front of him.
Mm.
And so when I'm filming, it's easier when there's nobody because then nobody's blocking the shot. You don't have to raise it up. And I was like, hey, Revis, do you mind if we switch? That way I don't have to raise my hands over this dad's head. And he's like, yeah, sure. So while we're switching, Zach Neto grounds out. Nolan Shanwell comes up, and he hits it. And I'm like, oh, shit. And I'm like, we have already swapped, but, like, we're at the point where we're about to sit down. And I'm looking at him like, that has a chance. That might be gone. And I'm looking, and I see that motherfucker Denzel Clark just yeet himself over this wall. And I was like, I literally think I went, oh, my God.
Now, this was no, like, small, you know, impressive move. We've been to the outfield.
We've practiced robbing home runs.
Exactly.
Not exactly where he did it.
Yeah.
It's more to the right.
But the fact that he had enough velocity, he was able to traject himself from the ground, get himself on the wall, and still stick out that arm to make the catch.
And you know what's crazy, too? I've noticed this watching, because he's made 3 highlight catches 3 weeks in a row.
Mm.
He had the one in Toronto where he basically just scaled center field.
Right.
The one in Sacramento where he slammed into the wall. Oh,
yeah, face first. Yeah, I did see that, yep.
But the one in Toronto and the one here, literally steps before he climbs the wall, he takes his eyes off the ball, which usually screws people up because then, but he takes his eyes off the ball, looks at the wall to see where the wall is, immediately picks it up again, and then made both catches. And I was like, oh my goodness. So yeah, he is absolutely insane. He also made 2 more diving catches in that game that weren't that catch, but that catch was the best catch I've seen in person. And I've been to over 100 baseball games at least, probably around like 500 in my lifetime. So to say that's the best catch I've ever seen, that is huge. That is, I can't even think of another catch I've seen that's anywhere close.
Yeah, I mean, you could look at multiple catches throughout the years.
Yeah.
The one that sticks out to me is that Mike Trout one against Montero.
Is that the one where he kind of holds himself up?
Yeah, yeah, I was at that game.
Yeah, I was going to say, I know you've seen one that was pretty insane.
Yeah, I was at that game. Obviously, the one with Denzel Clark, obviously, it is on par with, you know, catches that Travis made, like the one in Baltimore that he made, like his rookie or second year.
All those other insane ones I've only seen on TV, but to see one like that in person, now I can join you, now that you saw that Trout one against Miguel Olivo, you said, right?
Jesus Montero.
Jesus Montero. And I saw this one. That feeling is insane.
Dude, like you just stand there and you're in awe.
Literally. It was an inning later and we were still like, dude, what the hell just happened? Like, what? How?
Yeah, dude. And like catches like that, dude, they just take your breath away.
Mm-hmm. Straight up. They really did. And it was funny later in the game. J.J. Bleday, J.J. Bleday hit a two-run homer, okay. The one that went off Joe Adell's glove. Did you see that?
No, I didn't, actually.
Yeah, so...
oh, but you did tell me about it, though. You did tell me, but I didn't see it.
I did?
Yeah, remember you... Oh, no, wait, no. You're telling me the one that he could have easily robbed?
Oh, yeah, yeah. That was, yeah, you're talking about the last series. Yeah,
that's a different play.
No, yesterday, J.J. Bleday hits one, and I can see Joe Adell running back, and I stand up, and I'm with other friends, and I go, Joe, this is your chance to shut them up! He doinked it over.
Oh, man.
And I went, damn it, Joe. What the-? I'm like, now you gave him another one.
Where was he playing?
Center.
Okay.
It was, he didn't really have to go left or right. It was pretty much dead center. And it was just off the side of his glove. And I was like, Joe, dude, I feel like he overthinks it big time when it comes to plays where he has to lay out, jump. He gets too much in his head.
Yeah.
And especially since it keeps adding to his resume, he's like, oh, I can finally shut him up. And then he thinks about it too much.
Yeah, no, you're right. Hopefully that's not the case.
Yeah.
But, you know, that what would you think? That's best case scenario? But you overthink it?
Yeah, I guess.
Because worst case scenario is that you can't field.
Yeah. So, well, I mean.
That is worst case scenario. You don't know how to field. But,
yeah.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I think he's just overthinking it.
You got the fielding yips.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It happens. Didn't Andy have it for like a couple games?
Oh, my God. There was a period where we were debating if Andy's prime was over. We were like, well, Andy's reached his end. Like, retire now at this point.
Yeah.
But, Denzel Clark, you have been on my radar, but you are definitely stuck on my radar now because you can go out there and get it. Like, damn, bro. That catch was absolutely spectacular. And I don't know if I'll ever see anything better than that in my life. But something we did see that is always fun to see in a life is a WWE show. Specifically, Money in the Bank.
Yes, sir. What an event that was. Mm-hmm. That whole day. Mm-hmm. Two wrestling events.
Yes. So I'll let you, kind of like we started off last week with predictions, talk about Worlds Collide. What was your favorite part about Worlds Collide?
Favorite part? It's funny because my favorite part was probably that six-man tag with Aerostar, Octagon Jr., and Mr. Iguana.
Yeah.
Mr. Iguana. Dude, they got to make puppets. If WWE wants to make money, that's where it's at. They already made shirts.
There doesn't have to be an instance of this every single time, but one time, he has to come out with a real Iguana. At least once.
Yeah.
Maybe WrestleMania.
I mean, WWE has come out with dogs before.
Yeah.
I think
snakes. Jake the Snake Roberts.
Yeah, I just feel like we like it. Maybe they either don't want to risk it or they're afraid of, you know, PETA going off on them.
Oh God, yeah.
You know what I mean?
When they've already had a war with WWF.
Exactly. Exactly. So
yeah.
But yeah, that was probably my favorite one. Favorite match. Probably obviously the main event.
Gable and Vikingo.
But another thing that was really funny that really caught me off guard. To start the show, they did the Mexican national anthem and then the United States national anthem.
Yeah.
So they started off with the Mexican national anthem. And for those who don't know, instead of the hand over the heart.
It's like this, right?
Exactly. Your hand's basically at its side.
Yeah.
And correct me if I'm wrong. I didn't even do research, but I just guessed. I think it's the lady, the Mexican lady in the GNX album from Kendrick Lamar.
Oh, yeah. The mariachi lady. Well,
she sang the Mexican national anthem. I could be wrong.
I have no clue.
I didn't do research, so, you know, I'm freeballing it.
But she's a mariachi singer at Dodger Stadium. That's how Kendrick discovered her for that album.
I believe it's the same lady. I could be wrong. So
wouldn't make sense.
Exactly. Yeah. So she's singing the national anthem. Mm-hmm. And at some point, she either changed the lyrics on accident.
Oh.
Or on purpose.
Oh.
Because she messed up on a word or two.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to see if I can try and send this to you. My dad filmed it.
Mm-hmm.
He filmed it as he's obviously, he has his, he's filming with one arm, pledging with the other one. She messes up. And in Spanish, she basically goes, oh, she fucked up.
She's probably nervous. Her life has gone from normal, everyday, 9 to 5 to she's on a GNX album now. Kendrick Lamar, one of the biggest artists. She's singing the anthem at a WWE promotion.
Yeah. Well, he didn't say she fucked up, but I think if I remember correctly, he said, she doesn't even know it. She doesn't even know the words. And then later, I think...
So your dad's just roaster.
Basically. And then, like, after the next part of the song that she sings, you could hear someone in the background yell,
mm-hmm.
She doesn't even know it! Like, she doesn't even know the words.
Wow. That's embarrassing.
And I will say this, though. As she's walking out, and then after the anthems, she walked out, and then that's where Rey Mysterio and, you know, had to stop. When she was walking out, she had the Mexican flag on her shoulders,
mm-hmm.
and it looked like she was tearing up. Now, I don't know if it was because of emotions, as in, like, you know, singing the heart of Mexico right there.
Yeah.
Or that she messed up.
Do you know the anthem? Like,
no.
Like, not at all? Or, like, I'm not saying, like, do you know how to sing it, but, like, heard it? Do you know it?
I've heard it. I don't know it.
Okay, got it.
But
I was going to say, to you, like, how much percent did you think she actually
I couldn't even tell you. I got to ask my dad, but, yeah. Like I said, either she was emotional.
Mm-hmm.
Or that she messed up.
Yeah.
Which I would, you know, lean towards the latter. Because, mm-hmm. like, you know, messing up in front of, like, you know, the culture, themselves there. Obviously, it's going to, you know, make you emotional.
It was a big Latino-filled crowd. It was
for the most
AAA,
part.
AAA, the luchador company
that
merged with WWE. And it drew a lot of Latino, Hispanic people to the crowd. And so, yeah. If you're going to sing the national anthem, you better get it right.
And one of my dad's childhood hero's son, Blue Neben Jr., was there. And you could see in the video where she messes up as he's doing this and holding like a flag of like a deceased man.
Mm-hmm.
Or no, I believe he was actually holding an urn, actually.
Okay.
He side-eyes her. No. He side-eyes her upset, like, did she really just mess up? You could see, I'll try and send it to you, but
yeah
she just like, he's just like, you know, listening, as he's probably humming or singing along to it, and then he just does this, like side-eyes her.
Yeah.
And my dad even filmed it, so yeah, that was, you know, one of the more funnier / sad parts, I guess, if you want to go into more perspective of it, but I loved it. You know, there was even a table spot, even though I really didn't get to see it because I was on the other side of the ring.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, great show overall. They even at the end, I don't know if they showed this on YouTube, but at the end they got all the Latin wrestlers, representatives in the ring. And shout out to the homie Javon Evans, bro. That fellow was in the ring with La Raza, bro. He was
like, I got 1%.
Exactly, bro. He was in there with them. Like, you know what, bro? I'm a part of the show, because he was.
He was part of the four-way.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And, but yeah, everybody basically giving their thoughts. Even Mr. Iguana spoke.
Mr. Iguana.
He spoke. God, dude, I can't wait to see him in NXT.
Give him the Intercontinental Championship now.
He was in NXT tonight.
Was he?
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
He was on the... part of the audience.
Hell yeah.
Hijo de Dr. Wagner Jr.
Love it. Give him a push.
So yeah, Worlds Collide out of 10, at least a 9. At least a 9.
Okay. You also picked up some stuff there, didn't you?
Not really for me, but this is more for my dad, as my McFlurry spills. Not really, but it just tipped over the cup.
Okay, I was going to say.
Don't worry. I finished it clean. Don't worry. The first shirt, as you could probably tell by the second shirt already, I bought this for him. This was
So these are all his?
I bought these for him.
Okay.
So none of them are for me.
Oh, like a match card shirt?
Not really. It's just the main event.
Vikingo and Chad Gable.
Vikingo versus Chad Gable. I'm going to try and show it on the screen for you guys on the video listeners. Yeah. So it's just basically the main event. There was another shirt that had the whole card, but I guess he wanted this one. Because I think the whole card was White.
I want to see him rocking that at softball.
I know, right?
Actually, no. I actually want to see him rocking the other shirt next softball.
The other shirt?
Yeah. I know what the other shirt is already.
So this other shirt, as you guys know, John Cena is in his farewell tour. By the way, I got an ad for some Lucha local house show. Don't care. So this is really the shirt that I really wanted for him. Because he also owns two John Cena shirts.
He does?
He owns a green one. Green John Cena.
The green and yellow one?
No. Green and yellow / mainly green. And then the other one was red. I think it's red. So I bought this one for him. Nice. It's a 2XL. It is the last time with LA highlighted, as you can see in the video version. If you're listening on the podcast version, aka the audio version, be sure to head to YouTube.
And you can see.
You can see it right here. It's the blue one where the LA is highlighted. You can see even still got the price tag on it.
Rams inspired.
Rams inspired. That's right. Because no Chargers or Clippers are loved here.
Nope.
it was only Lakers and Rams. So the last time is now. And then in the back.
I love that he's doing that. He has different ones for each city.
Yeah. Apparently he used to do that, but not like his own merch, but he'd wear like jerseys of the town he's visiting. So, yeah, basically bought that for Pop Cap. So,
And I love it because we get to judge each one. And so far, I really like the darker color ones. Like the Vegas one, which I have, I love. It's the black
design. Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're right.
Then his Belgium one, too, that maroon color, the one where he made fun of the kid.
Yeah, that kid caught a stray for no reason. Yeah,
that one I like, too. That one looks really nice. That one does look nice. There's some that I'm like, missed the ball. The Tennessee one I like. That one was cool.
I like the Tampa one.
The creamsicle one. I love that one too.
That was Worlds Collide. Yeah. And then we walked over to Into a Dome for Money in the Bank, and then
met up with us.
Met up with you guys. But tell us what you did just before you got here Into It.
That might have been the best. I'm trying to think. WrestleMania 39 was really great. It was a great show overall.
Mm-hmm.
But like excluding the show and talking about everything overall. First of all, our parking. Loved our parking.
For WrestleMania?
No, for Money in the Bank.
Okay.
I said, our parking at WrestleMania 39 was okay.
It actually wasn't bad.
Yeah, it wasn't that bad. But the one we had for Money in the Bank, we were in a parking structure right across from Into a Dome. But we had a bridge that took us right there, right to it.
Mm-hmm.
And the security, like, you know, the metal detectors and everything, were in the parking structure. So once you got through there, you were home free.
Okay.
And we parked on the level of the bridge. So it wasn't like we were three levels up.
No stairs, no elevators. Yep.
We were right around the corner. So literally, it's like our car was here, got out of the car, went around the corner, and there it was. Okay. I was like, that's beautiful. And so got there. Got in nice and easy, which of course it is Into It because it literally just scans your face. You don't even have to pull out your phone. And we get to our seats, and I think our seats, we've sat closer. We've had pretty amazing seats at all the PLEs we've gone to. But these seats, just everything they came with.
God, dude.
And it's not even like an included package. How nice they were.
Yeah.
It's right by like the electronic signs, you know, of the tunnel ways. So we had nobody in front of us because, I mean, you physically couldn't put seats there.
Yeah, they'd be floating in air or hanging off an edge.
Yeah, so nobody sitting in front of us. Amazing, because that's one of the worst things, in my opinion, about WWE shows is when people stand up constantly.
I agree.
That was beautiful. And because it was one of those entryways, we had a little shelf where we could put all our stuff.
Yeah, a little ledge.
Oh, it was amazing. The leg room was plenty. And we had a group of five. And in that little section, there was five seats. So it was literally just us.
Made for us, basically.
Yeah, it felt like it was a show for us because we didn't really have to deal with anybody.
I know.
Like on our left and right was stairs. And then the next section. So those people were pretty far away. And then the only people were behind us. That was it. And it felt great having that own little space to us.
Except for some people that walked across in front of us.
Oh, my God, dude. Those people were driving me crazy.
Like, when I was there, there was only, like, what, maybe...
Two.
Yeah, two groups. Yeah. Two groups, yes.
Yeah.
That walked in front of me. And I was like,
okay. Yeah, I was like, you really had to cut through here.
Yeah.
Out of all places. But not only our seats were that amazing, the location of where we were in the venue, you would go out the tunnel, and then we had the grab and go of all your drinks and food and the souvenir cups you can buy from there. And then you get it. And then right across from that was the refill station.
Yep.
So it took maybe 30 seconds to get refills every time.
Funny thing that happened is, I guess my dad's, debit card expired in his account for the Intuit.
Yeah.
So they asked him to put a payment to scan it. Mm-hmm. And then they saw that I was there. So they scanned me. Mm-hmm. So I was showing him the runaround of, like, you know, how does everything work?
Yeah.
So instead of charging him, they charged me. I paid for the first round of food. And then he said, you know what, let me go check it out. He gets popcorn, Takis, and some other thing. Oh, an alcoholic beverage. Mm-hmm. And then they charged me. So I was just like, cool. I didn't say anything to him because I had to wait until I got home. Did you think
he got charged?
Yeah. So I didn't say anything. Yeah. I was just like, because you could check in the app, your payment history, and it said, processing to see what if you did buy anything, because sometimes you could just go in and out and nothing. Yeah. They charged me. So that was fun.
Nice.
But, you know, that was my little side tangent about that. But I love the area. I love it. Yeah. You literally grab and go.
Yep. And it's right outside our tunnel. The bathroom, too, I loved because there was a food stand blocking the men's room. So a lot of people didn't see the men's room. So whenever I went, it was max waiting for two people, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
So it was lovely. And I think Steve Ballmer designed Intuit Dome perfectly. He wanted people to not have to wait in lines. He wanted it to be quick. And from that experience, that's exactly what it was.
Yeah.
Especially because our seats, we didn't have to go down like a section all the way. It was literally like, whoop, we're out.
Yeah, and plus, I love the fact that there's free refills.
Free. Love it.
Dude, that caught me off guard because I think that's the first time I've been to a venue where they offer free refills.
Yeah. Let me shout out all the places that I know that give free refills. You're the goats for this. Intuit, Petco Park.
Okay.
There's one more. It's another baseball stadium.
St. Louis.
I think Truist.
Atlanta?
I think you're right about St. Louis, too. I think they also do.
I don't know. I just threw a guess because...
I'm there's another ballpark that gives free refills. No, I was going to say Sacramento, but if your stadium does that, you guys are goats.
Yeah.
Thank you. Because that is such a blessing. Now let's review the matches of Money in the Bank.
Yeah. Let's go in order. What let off the night?
Let off the night was the women's Money in the Bank match. And look, I was excited, super excited to see Money in the Bank matches because they were fighting for a prize. It wasn't just like a title or a singles match. It's like, this is something that is going to mean something down the line.
Well, at least for the next potential year. Yeah. Potentially for the next year.
Yeah. So the women's leads off and stacked talent-wise and beauty-wise. We had Rhea Ripley. We had Roxanne Perez. We had Stephanie Vaquer. We had Julia. We had Naomi. And we had... Who's the last one?
I don't know. I'm blanking too.
Rhea, Steph, Roxanne, Julia, Naomi.
Rhea, It was three mainstays and then three of the NXT.
Three of the rookies.
So Steph, Rox, and Julia.
Yeah.
Naomi.
Rhea.
Rhea. Oh, this is so embarrassing.
Who was it? Oh, my.
Ladies and gentlemen, this usually doesn't happen.
Yeah.
But we are usually well prepared.
Why can't I remember who it was? So it's like you said, we got the three rookies out of the way. We know it's not them.
Uh-huh.
And then it's Rhea and Naomi.
Uh-huh. Keep talking. Let the people know. Fill it up as I look for it.
Oh, my God. They're probably yelling at us right now.
They're like, it's this person.
So and so. I want to try and get it before you do. Oh, my God. Who was it?
Bro, fix your internet, bro. Tell them to hurry up.
Oh, my God. You're the one looking it up. Oh, my goodness. I am so sorry, everybody. I mean, it really doesn't matter. We could just talk about the match, but...
Alexa Bliss. Alexa Bliss. No, not you. Not you. Don't say anything. Alexa, stop.
Stop. Mrs. Bliss. Mrs. Bliss. Nothing. Good. Anyways.
Miss Bliss.
Yes. That's who it was. Who had the coolest entrance with the Intuit effects? I would say
the light. Yeah, because she was the first one to come out.
Yeah, and the ring. Part of the song that goes
dun it.
Yeah.
So, and then all six of them put on a show.
Yeah.
What did you think of that little Roxanne?
So I was gonna say,
there
were some cool spots, like, you know, Stephanie doing the devil's kiss on the ladder. And,
oh yeah, I was a big fan of that.
But overall, I feel like the match was awkward. I feel like they weren't getting into their spots very cleanly, and they were just kind of setting it up and taking a while to get to that point of where, like, this is the spot. Like, obviously, we saw the Roxanne and Julia one where they were trying to sandwich the ladder on Rhea.
That was a little awkward.
And then there was another one where they tried, because they trapped Rhea in it, and then they threw the other ladder onto her, but then it hit the top rope and didn't even make contact.
Yeah, I remember that.
And it went
too.
Like boom, boom, and it went back and forth. And then Roxanne played it off like, I was like, it didn't even hit her.
What was the other spot too where I think Alexa was trying to push the ladder and then the two on the ladder realized, oh snap, I don't think she can push it. So they jumped off.
Naomi. It was Naomi.
The second they jumped off,
yeah,
the ladder gives away, obviously. Yeah,
because I said it in my video because Naomi's trying to push it with Rhea on one side and I think Alexa on the other side.
And Alexa was the one pushing it.
Are you sure? I remember Naomi doing it.
Pretty sure was.
Either way. They were pushing it, and I remember going, I don't think she can push them over.
Yeah.
And then they kind of jumped at the last second. I think they went like that to the momentum to help it fall.
Right.
And then, yeah, it was just a lot of awkward spots. But, yeah, it had its moments, like the devil's kiss, Stephanie trying to climb the ladder with Julia mid-submission around her. That was funny.
Yeah.
And honestly, when Naomi won it, I didn't think that was the moment. Because usually there's a moment where it's like, oh, like some big spot happens. And then it's like the ring's empty. Everyone's been hurt. This is my time. And I think that was the moment where Naomi pushed him off. They hit the ladder and then it was Rhea and they rolled out of the ring. And I was like, okay, well, Naomi's going to climb. But so-and-so has been down for so long. Like, do you think they're going to get up right now? And then she started to climb. I was like, oh, no one's stopping her. I was like, okay, this is the moment.
That's when everybody in the arena knew, like, oh, it's her.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, both of them, the men's and the women's, I kind of didn't feel that moment of like, oh, it's happening right now.
I agree. Yeah. Usually you see someone like come from behind and then just push them off or something.
And then they get it.
Exactly. Yeah. I get it. Like the WrestleMania, I think it was in Texas, where the Miz was sitting so confidently. Mm. He even sat down on the top of the ladder. And then Zack Ryder comes from behind and just pushes him off.
Yep.
And then he takes it down. No, so I get what you mean. Like, there was no like... Last second, you know.
Yeah, because that's usually how it is.
Usually, yeah.
Yeah, and like LA Knight, 2 years in a row, but the one I remember is where he's right there, and you think he's got it, and then you see Damian Priest's arm just come in for the South of Heaven, and I'm like, oh my God, and then he threw him off, and I was like, well, there it is. Like, that's I knew it was right there that moment.
By the way, you got to feel bad for LA Knight. Dude. Three-time Money in the Bank.
Three-time match blue balls.
Loser. Yeah. And he's had this hype for so long.
Yep.
After you know, number three, like...
I'm going to kill Paul Levesque, bro. Triple H. He keeps saying, good things come to those who wait. He literally said that about LA Knight. That was 2 years ago.
I mean...
How long are we waiting, bro?
Yeah. So, that was interesting. What was the next match? I think it was... Was it Becky or was it Octagon?
It was Dom's match. It was... Made at Worlds Collide.
That's right, yes. Yeah.
Which I think we all knew was going to be a quick match because of that.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, nobody expected Octagon Jr. to actually win in his, I guess, WWE debut.
Yeah, it would be, yeah.
Yeah, unlike Santino, who won as, like, the stranger at a WWE show.
Yeah, the IC title.
Yeah. But great match. You know, it was obviously going to be a quick one and done.
Yeah.
What was it, like an 8-minute match, 5-minute match?
Probably like 5 minutes. I'm not going to lie.
So, but a good match, good performance by both ends.
Yeah.
One thing I forgot to mention at Worlds Collide, I saw Io and Tiffany.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I remember they walked kind of right by you.
Yeah, Tiffany did.
Yeah.
She said she wanted me or something like that.
Oh, did she now?
She did.
Oh, really?
She did. I have a source to, I have a witness to
that. Oh, that's crazy. Roxanne actually told me that we were going to go to dinner.
You know, it's crazy though. Like, I have a witness. Mm-hmm. Do you?
Yeah, Shortsy. Anyway, that Dom match ended very quickly. Dom retained, and then we had the Becky Lyra match, and you know, it was whatever. I mean,
to be fair, it was pretty obvious.
Yeah, or was it? I really didn't know who to pick.
For me, it was because I mean, like, yeah, it was pretty. For me, it was obvious that it was going to be Becky. Because the fact that the stipulation was added that you can't challenge me for the IC title anymore, like, how long are you going to make Becky wait for the IC title again?
Mm-hmm.
So, plus, like, Becky's eventually going to be, I feel like, a Triple Crown, or not Triple Crown, Grand Slam champion at some point now in WWE. Yeah, so
the women can actually do that now.
Exactly. Yeah. So, I thought it was pretty obvious. I thought Bayley was supposed to return, but she waited 48 hours later to
save it for Raw.
To be fair, like, it does kind of make sense to wait until Raw, especially with Truth.
Bro, that Raw felt like a Mania after Raw. I know. I was like, damn, that was a good episode of Raw.
Yeah, it was basically like what Money in the Bank
after show. Raw after Money in the Bank.
Exactly. So it was, that Raw was good.
Yeah.
I thought it was cut a little interesting how they made Lyra put the title around Becky's waist. Like,
yeah, I knew Lyra wasn't gonna hold up for it. I knew she was gonna flip out eventually.
And yeah, plus like the stipulation was just raise their hand.
Yeah, like, and then she was like, okay, now do all four ways, now put my belt on. Now I was like, okay, that wasn't included.
Exactly. So not a bad match.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, they hit some pretty cool spots, especially Lyra. She did some pretty cool dives and drops. Then we had the men's Money in the Bank. Let's see if we can get this one quickly. LA Knight, Seth Rollins.
No, let's go with the Mexicans first.
Okay.
El Grande Americano.
Of course, yes.
Andrade.
Yes.
And Penta.
LA Knight.
Yeah.
Solo Sikoa. And damn it.
Come on, Solo.
Do you have it?
Solo.
Yeah, Solo.
LA Knight.
The Mexicans.
The three Mexicans.
And
Seth. Seth. The winner.
Oh my God. Stupid me. I said Seth when I was naming it.
I know.
And then you said, no, I got it. Let's do the Mexicans first. I was like, okay. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, Grande Americano. Yeah.
Yes. Okay, we got it. We don't need to keep.
So, but great match.
Yeah, Solo, great match. Hilarious in that match.
Dude, you know what's crazy? Like, on the mic, like, a couple months ago, he was just like,
because they wanted him to be serious, but then they let him be funny.
He's thriving. What was that thing?
In the Money in the Bank match, he was hitting everybody's moves. He was like,
I think he said miedo first, too, which is the funny part. Miedo, and then
he did the...
And then the... when he threw out Seth and El Grande Americano left the ring, he was all happy, like, you know, got rid of him, turns around, then he sees the three in front of him, like, he does 1, 2, 3, and then some fans saw that real quick and go, but that was funny.
Oh, yeah, he did that too, the L-A, and then
and he's like, oh, what is it again?
Yeah, the last one, and then he did Gracias too. Gracias!
So I just know he's going to be, if they actually, you know, let him continue on, I could see him as like a comedic character.
Yeah,
easily. Slash great wrestler. I mean, he's not bad in the ring at all. So
yeah,
you know, let him thrive.
Yeah, and what were the spots in that match? We had Penta diving on all five outside the ring.
Yeah, we had that.
The Mexican Destroyer on the ladder.
On the ladder. The Grande Americano just before
ladder
the finish.
Ladder to ladder.
Yeah. Yeah. By the way, dude, the way that Seth like he's all like, we have to make sure this spot works. So he's literally next to the ladder.
Oh, yeah. On the ground. Making sure it doesn't fall. Yeah.
Exactly. And as El Grande Americano pushes himself, you can see Seth, like, make sure to holds it down so that way it doesn't, like, you know.
Lean to the side or
exactly.
something.
Exactly. So that was very great on his end.
I noticed that while editing. Did you notice that?
I noticed at the venue? Show. Yeah. Uh-huh. I told my dad, like, look how he's holding it. Look how he's, like, he's making sure the spot goes well.
Yeah.
So that was good. And then Seth's entourage versus Solo's entourage.
Oh my God, dude, the torpedo spear from Bron Breakker.
Dude, LeBron Breakker is a monster, bro. Future WrestleMania main eventer, hands down.
Easily. I don't understand though how WWE keeps screwing up camera shots. They didn't get his spear like clear. Mm-hmm. Did you rewatch it?
Yeah. Like, it was such a bad cut.
Dog, like, how hard is it to tell? Hold the camera there, like, stay on this shot, don't switch to another one.
And then in the main, we'll get to it later, but the main event too, where like, I don't know if you saw on the TVs as well, where Logan had the drone, Cody goes up for it, and then they switch to the main cam. I'm like, how much sense does
just
that make?
Leave it, bro. Like, oh my God.
But we'll save that for later.
Yeah, but Bronze Spear, insane. And then we had a tsunami from Mr. Little Wavy Arms.
Yeah.
Bronson Reed. It's the funniest thing ever, bro. You see his arms like.
I know. Was there a table spot too?
No. There were no tables in
until
either
the
of the
end.
Matches.
Until the end.
Oh, you're talking about the announcer tables.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Yeah, because.
We had Jacob Fatu come out and rock bottom Solo through the.
The ladder. The ladder.
What, the barrier in the ring post ladder?
Yeah, he threw Solo through it.
Yeah. Turned on him.
Who speared the barricade then? Was it Braun?
Braun speared JC.
Okay.
Yeah, but then Solo. Jacob turned on Solo finally, where he continued to be funny. He's like, why isn't my leg moving? And then what the hell? And then I hate you, Solo. Yeah, dude, that was amazing.
You know what's crazy? They made Jacob turn on Solo quicker than Austin Theory turning on Grayson Waller.
Dude, can we talk about some of those things that are taking forever? Like, I get your long-term storytelling. Austin Theory turning on Grayson Waller. It's happening eventually. When? Who knows?
Many people are waiting for it at the last Australia show. Elimination Chamber, I think it was in Australia.
It's taking so long. And another one that's taking forever, which honestly has been going on for years under different variations, the breaking up of the Judgment Day. We're on like Judgment Day 5.0 right now.
Like, the original members.
Edge. That's wild to say.
I know.
That this group is technically the same group, and Edge started it.
Yeah, like, so originally it was Edge, Rhea Ripley, and Damian Priest. Mm. All of them are gone now.
Yeah.
The oldest...
Finn.
It would be Finn, as in the oldest tenured
member. Then Dom.
Then Dom.
Then Liv?
No, because I think JD...
Oh, JD, yeah.
JD was when Damian didn't like him.
You're right.
And then Liv.
And then Raquel.
And then Raquel.
And now Roxanne.
And then Carlito, who's now gone.
Yeah.
And now Roxanne.
Yeah. Yeah, they've been going on for a long-ass time. And they keep building tension between Finn and Liv, Roxanne and Liv, Dom and Liv, about Roxanne. I guarantee you, it's most likely Judgment Day. I guarantee you either them or Theory and Waller have their breakup at SummerSlam.
Oh, okay.
One of them, at least. It would also be poetic because that's where Liv and Dom
kissed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And broke up.
I could see it. Yeah. That makes sense. So. But, you know, back to Money in the Bank. Great show overall. The Fireball or Whiskey.
Dude, that ladder was huge.
I know.
Getting to the top, you're just basically like, oh. Like, was right under the briefcase.
And then the SmackDown before that, we had the Slim Jim table.
Slim Jim table. Sponsors are everywhere in WWE now. It's kind of ridiculous.
I saw this one picture. It was saying like, oh, watch Roman come out in a dude wipe shirt.
That'd be funny. So. But I would hate it. But it'd be funny.
It would be funny.
It'd be a meme for sure.
100%.
But yeah, then Seth goes on to win it in another spot that it was kind of like, oh, this is the moment. LA Knight was up there. Seth tore him down. LA Knight actually clotheslined him, and then Seth got up really fast and tore LA Knight back down, and then LA Knight fell into the perfect stomp position, stomped, and it's like, okay, well, nobody's on the ladder. Nobody stopped anybody from the top of the ladder, so it's not happening yet. And then I see Seth start to climb, and I look around. I'm like, oh, it is happening. Okay. And then Seth won.
By the way, that spot just before Seth won with El Grande Americano and LA Knight.
Yeah.
Dude, that spot.
Uh-huh. Thanks.
That spot was incredible because, like, it was just like, hey, get ready for the ride. And then just takes him down with him. And
LA Knight followed El Grande Americano up there. That's right. Yeah, that was insane.
But what was scary, I don't know if you saw this in editing, the way they fell. Grande Americano's head was inches away from hitting a ladder. There was a ladder on the mat.
Yeah.
And his head was, like I said, not more than 12 inches away. Probably, if anything, probably 6 inches away from clearing his head. So
that's close scary spot.
But, you know, they're all safe.
Yeah, I want to give a shout out really quick. We got the Angel Game on, as we do. Mm-hmm. And there's fans dressed up as angels. I love seeing our fans be fans and not just casuals.
It's been going on a lot this season.
Yeah, they had like little confetti halos and robes on. Whoever you are, shout out to you. But yeah, Seth, Money in the Bank winner. Naomi, Miss Money in the Bank.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, based off the trends, I think Naomi's cashing in first.
Okay, I haven't even thought about this.
The average women cash in is like a month.
I know. Which is crazy, dude. It's like, such a short span.
Watch it be SummerSlam.
Wasn't it Carmella who held it the longest?
I think so. I think 3 months.
The first / second person to ever win it. Just because the first one was James Ellsworth who pulled it off.
So crazy. Yeah.
They replayed the match too on that the next SmackDown after, which is so funny. It was so funny.
Yeah. But the women typically don't hold the briefcase too long. I wouldn't be shocked if Naomi cashes at SummerSlam. Probably. I guarantee you Jade's getting the title. Jade wins the title at SummerSlam. Naomi catches it.
So Jade wins the gauntlet, or not the gauntlet.
Probably. Yeah. The King of the Ring. King of the Ring. Or Queen of the Ring.
Yes. Queen of the Ring.
Let's get it right.
Exactly. it makes sense.
I think I'm very confident that, actually. Yeah. She wins Queen of the Ring. She beats Tiffany.
Do they get their choice of champion?
I don't know. I think so, because they're guaranteed a title shot. So okay. I think they get to pick which one.
Okay.
And so, yeah. I would say Tiffany. She goes for Tiffany. Who's the other one? It's Io, and that doesn't really make sense right now.
Yeah, no, so, I guess you're right.
Yeah, so Tiffany, and then she's like, yeah, I'm the champ, woo!
Obviously hurt from the battle.
Yep, and then
her, she just went on.
Then her biggest hater is like, nope.
So, proceed with caution.
Yeah, so I think that's what's going to happen for her. And what, that's in August?
Yes.
So 2 months of holding the briefcase?
New Jersey.
Yeah. And then Seth.
You could honestly put it in within the next 12 months and it would all make sense, I feel like.
Yeah. Some people are saying another repeat of Heist of the Century.
You never know. I mean, I feel like it's kind of hard to top that moment. Yeah. But if it makes storyline sense, obviously, why not? I just know that either that first cash-in or an eventual cash-in, Roman's going to come back.
Yeah. And it would be a huge... Hey, y'all want to pay me for this idea right here?
No.
To boost SummerSlam, because obviously they're making SummerSlam a bigger event. They're trying to level up SummerSlam by making it a two-night event. Imagine if you had both cash-ins, one each night. Naomi night one, Seth night two. That would get a lot of people talking about SummerSlam. I think Naomi's is definitely happening. Seth, I don't see so much, but who knows? Could happen.
I mean, low-key, even though... it might not happen this year. I would love to see Seth as WWE champion. He's already held the world heavyweight.
Yeah.
He was the first winner.
Yeah. All these, because the WWE title has been caught up in storyline drama for so long that it feels like a cop out that all these cash ins and all these opportunities go for the world heavyweight title. Cause it's like, well, we can't have you go for that one. Cause that has a whole story about it right now. So we're going to make it seem like you really want that one. And it's like, well, I get why they're not going for that one. Cause Cena's got the farewell tour. You can't really take it off him yet, blah, blah, blah. Or back then, Roman and his reign, or Cody just won it. Like, it's been caught up in storylines for years right now.
I would love for it to be, you know, like Seth. I feel like it's Seth's turn. Cause I feel like he could definitely be someone after John Cena leaves. I could definitely see him as the face of the company. I know you have Roman. But then there's been also talks about his contract trying to be renegotiated.
And Seth's been the workhorse.
Exactly. So.
And it kind of fits because John wants to ruin wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
Seth says he's the future of wrestling. Well, if wrestling's ruined, there's no future. So cash in, boom, WWE champion.
And plus the last three champions have been the face of the company.
Yeah.
Cena right now, Cody before, Roman before, and then Brock Lesnar, who's like, you know.
Yeah.
Just hanging out.
In Minnesota somewhere right
somewhere
now.
Supporting his daughter in shot put and stuff. So.
Yeah, yeah. Who definitely, Brock's DNA won that battle.
By the way, before we do get into the main event, I wish I remember whose son this was. It's one of the Steiner brothers' sons. I saw, I think his name was Brock.
Brock Steiner.
Brock, no, well, their legal last name is Brock Reck Steiner.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's like cousin of Braun Breaker.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny too. As we're leaving, I see him in a suit, and me and my dad go, "Oh, he's got a nice suit."
Yeah.
And then I see a fan with a WWE championship, and I hear him. I think it was Brock goes, "Hey, can I take a picture with that belt?" And the fan goes, "Yeah, man, sure." Yeah.
That's funny.
He hasn't posted this on Instagram, by the way. But I saw he had like a blue and like a white plaid shirt or suit jacket, mm-hmm. and he had a just a plain colored shirt. I think it was white. Might yeah. have been black, but I think it was white. And then he was with a lady. I don't know if it was like a intern or something, but I think she had something red worn as well. Mm-hmm. She wasn't in the picture, but in case we do see the picture one day, because he had the WWE Championship. I don't know if it's like a foreshadowing type of thing he's going to post on Instagram, but I think he's part of the NIL deal. Nice. With WWE. So I didn't even know it was him until it popped up on my algorithm. And I was like, and I showed my dad, like, isn't that the guy we saw asked a fan for like a picture with the title? And he goes, yeah, why? He was like, he just popped up on my algorithm. Turns out to be one of the Steiner brothers' sons. And he goes, oh, cool. I'm like, I guess I'm the only one that freaks out about it. But but yeah, but let's get into the main event, shall we?
John Cena and Logan Paul versus Cody Rhodes and Jey Uso.
Where are my low gangsters at? Shorty's one of them, by the way.
Oh, yeah? He's one of your low gangsters?
Not my low gangsters. He is a low gangster.
Ah, okay. He does love Logan Paul in WWE.
Yeah, so.
In the spots of that, we got the Logan Paul moonsault.
Oh, my God,
that was absolutely insane.
The superplex?
Superplex, yes. John being a comedy heel, always tagging Logan back in. He was like, nah, dude, you go handle that. them arguing.
Yeah. That was, I love the what was the SmackDown before? The one before that, where you could see them, like, Logan Paul, like, turns him.
Yeah.
And then Cena's in his face, like,
don't touch me.
Exactly. So I love that it went into Money in the Bank.
Yeah.
So that was cool.
Yeah.
Cena's last match in LA, most likely. It's crazy.
I feel like, I mean,
he has to come back, by the way.
We're such a popular city that I feel like there's got to be a Raw or SmackDown that'll find its way here,
especially with
or Anaheim.
I will love Anaheim. Yeah. Don't have to drive as far.
Yeah.
Especially with that deal that apparently TKO made. I read one article that said 3 events over the next 5 years. I read another one that said 3 events annually. Every year. So yeah. I don't even know who to trust anymore. Yeah. Not even the government. Yeah, John Cena, I feel like he has to make his way back for Survivor Series.
Oh, yeah.
So they did a show in San Diego where The Rock came back on day one Raw and said,
yeah.
Or should The Rock sit at the head of the table? And everybody lost their minds. Yeah. It was at that SmackDown in
Built San up Diego. Another hype story for him to not even come back. Anyway,
that is
the main story of that match was the interference. R-Truth returning. And I've gone back and forth on this. Was it planned? Did Triple H fire, quote-unquote, R-Truth, and he was never actually fired, and then they brought him back? Or did he really fire him, and then the fans' voices became loud enough, we want truth, we want truth, and they were like, hey, we've screwed up. We got to bring him back. So originally, I thought, damn, we got played.
We got worked.
Yeah.
I told you that. Yeah. At the show, I'm like, did we just get worked?
That's what I thought originally.
Me too.
But me too. After sitting on it, thinking about it, I think they screwed up.
Yeah.
I think they want to seem like the smart ones, so obviously they're talking like that.
They're trying to flip the script, but we read in between the lines.
Yeah, I heard Santi Zap say this. If you think we got worked, you're getting worked.
Yeah.
And I was like,
That makes so much sense.
Yeah.
I saw I think it was Sean Ross Sapp. He said he spoke with talent.
Yeah.
And said that, what was it? It's not a work. Yeah. It was 100% like shoot.
Yeah.
Which means, you know, like
real. Yeah.
So, you know, to do things where not only does it upset the fans, but the fellow wrestlers to be upset too. Like,
yeah,
you had to have done something bad where you upset the fan base and the workers.
Mm-hmm.
And so when they realized, like, oh, this isn't a good look for us at all.
Yeah.
Then they obviously tried to right the wrong. And did you see what Truth? Truth said he spoke to Teddy Long privately.
No.
And he said that he was intentionally ignoring their calls.
Oh, yeah. I did hear that. Yeah.
He said he was intentionally ignoring their calls. He was happy. By the way, he didn't get fired. His contract wasn't
expiring.
He's expiring and it wasn't going to get renewed.
Yeah.
He was ignoring them.
Yeah.
For like days.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until I think it was that Thursday.
Nick Khan stepped in, right?
Yeah. Personally called him.
Which apparently doesn't happen. Apparently he doesn't deal with talent and contracts often.
I wouldn't either. Can you imagine that?
Yeah.
So.
And that's like not a part of his job title and what he does at the company. But apparently Nick Khan, who is one of the higher ups in WWE.
President, I believe.
President. Stepped in and said, okay, hey, bro, let's talk.
Yeah,
and
he was at Worlds Collide, too.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw. Where did I see him? I saw him at I saw him somewhere recently that wasn't WWE. I was like, hey, that's Nick Khan.
Was it a college football game?
I don't remember.
Baseball? It wasn't baseball. That was Mr. Beast.
No, but he spoke the truth. And obviously, if you never hear from this guy originally who doesn't handle these kind of things and he wants to talk to you, it's like, all right, fine, I'll talk.
The fact that people were even saying, oh, this one, Vince McMahon wouldn't have fired him, which I think is true. I don't think Vince.
Probably not.
Because Vince loves truth.
Yeah.
So, there was like a source that wasn't named that said, truth would have been there forever.
Yeah.
And that Vince loves the wrestlers. Like, he actually cares about them instead of like TKO, where they're just basically another
worker. Money.
So,
I wish I didn't have it, quote unquote, spoiled for me.
Okay.
Because Shortsy and his damn eagle eye. So I see the person running in. I'm not thinking it's truth. Because I'm like, well, his contract's over. He's moved on. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking like, oh, this is something that's going to be an epic setup for Cena's farewell tour. And I mean, it was. And it is going to be. But I'm not thinking it's truth at all. Because of everything that had been going
on. It makes sense.
And then the littlest lift of his jacket when he dove in the ring. Because he was covered.
Yeah.
Like everywhere. Had gloves on. Had a ski mask, his hood up, jacket, pants.
Head to toe.
Yeah. Could not even see any skin color besides the eyes. That was it. And from our view, we couldn't even see the eyes. We saw
his back.
That was the only thing that got shown. And
I saw his ankles.
Are you serious?
I saw his ankles. Like, because the thing is, when he went down to spear him and was punching on him, his pants got lifted up.
Yep.
His pants got lifted up. So I saw his ankles.
Yep.
And that's when I knew. And I saw and I was just like, it's truth.
Yeah, Shortsy saw the jacket come up, and he saw the little bit of back that came, and he was like, it's truth, it's truth. And I'm like, oh, wait, what? And then, reveal. And I'm like, oh, shit, it is truth.
Yeah, if you want to go back on editing, you can see that the ankles.
No, that's what got me. I know. But I knew we weren't getting comedy funny R-Truth. It's crazy how little things matter in WWE. Just from his look,
his facial when he looked around,
I was like, that's not our truth.
That's wrong. Killings.
He's not going to be the funny character that we're used to seeing.
Yeah.
And that's why I said at the end of my video, and I got like three comments about it, kind of like poking at me. People, I said, all right, thank you for watching. Super exciting. Money in the Bank. R-Truth, the villain? What? And a lot of people were like, Cena's the villain, not R-Truth. And I'm like, that's not what I meant. I'm not talking about their story.
Yeah.
I'm saying like the villain character, R-Truth.
His villain arc.
Yeah, his villain arc. Yeah. So, yeah, that's what we got. And we go to Monday Night Raw. He shows up. Everybody's waiting. We're like, ooh, what's he going to say? Cuts off the dreads. Basically says, hey, y'all brought me back. And because of that, R-Truth is here. And because R-Truth is here, we're not going to be that silly, funny, comedic character. You're getting Raw and Killings now. And I don't know what the plan is with him now, because they already had their first match with Saturday Night's Main Event.
Is he going to be rocking like a shaved head now? Or
I hope as soon as that segment ended, I hope he went backstage and shaved his head.
Yeah. By the way, do you know why he changed to Raw and Killings?
No.
So this is actually included in his contract. He said he wanted to be portrayed as Raw and Killings. The character stuff was probably like an afterthought. Like, okay, let's get to work. The reason why he changed to Raw and Killings is when he becomes an afterthought.
Yeah.
R-Truth is technically IP, okay, intellectual property of WWE.
Owns.
So when he does signings, photo ops, independent wrestling appearances, whatnot, he can't use R-Truth. Mm-hmm. And if you go to some convention and you see Ron Killings, the name, Ron Truth doesn't come to mind.
Yeah.
So if you associate R-Truth as Ron Killings,
yeah,
more people will be like, okay, he's using his name now.
Yeah.
And now that he's using his real name, technically he can use it for appearances at conventions, photo ops, all that stuff. So
yeah,
that's the reason why. So you can have somewhat of a future after WWE. Hey, which Ron, is his, which is the last run.
Ron, I knew, bro. Because it's his musician name, too. Yeah. I got two songs of his on my playlist.
Okay, okay.
So, yeah, I knew. Don't worry. I got you. We follow each other.
There you go. Yeah. By the way, how many people does Ron Killing follow?
I think you asked me this when he first followed me, and it wasn't that many.
Mm-hmm.
Like, compared, because, like, Jose Bautista follows me on Twitter, but he follows 1.1 million people.
And how many people does John Cena follow?
I couldn't even get John Cena to follow me back, and he follows everybody.
He follows a million people.
6,400 for R-Truth.
Okay.
So which, compared to, like, most people that, like, oh, I follow everybody back, isn't that much.
Yeah.
Because, like, and he has how many followers? He has 1.5 mil followers.
Well, he's funny, so.
Yeah, he's very funny. But, yeah, like, I think I overshot on Jose Bautista. I think he follows, like, 600,000 people. And then, like you said, John Cena on Twitter follows everybody back?
Yeah, on X, yeah.
Yeah. So.
Oh, yeah? Irvin Santana follows me.
Sheesh. How many people does he follow?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So a lot.
Yes.
But yeah, 6,000? Not that many.
Yeah, compared to the 1.5. But
yeah,
you've talked about him before, so he probably said, oh, he's a fan. Let me follow him. So.
Indeed. I posted about his music.
Yeah.
Because I just found it, and I was like, that's a good song.
So yeah. Let's give our thoughts then. Money in the Bank overall, out of 10? Or out of 5, whatever your rating scale is. By the way, Angels win.
Oh, nice. Nolan Chanwell is pumped as hell. Oh, home run?
No.
Yeah, no.
No, they stopped him at third.
God, he's pumped. Wait,
he might have. No, never mind. I didn't even see. All I know is that they scored in the 10th. Yeah. No, no home run. I don't think so.
Anyways, nice. But
yeet.
I'll give it an 8.8.
8.8. Okay, okay.
Women's Money in the Bank was underwhelming. The Dom match and the Becky match were just like
fillers.
Whatever.
Time fillers. Yeah.
But I mean, love the Men's Money in the Bank match and the main event. Awesome. So, yeah.
I'd probably give it like an 8.1. Okay. It was a good show overall. Like I said, the Dom and Becky, like you literally just said, it was like, you know, it was to basically fill it up slash, you know, time. But it did lead to, you know, Bayley coming back, luckily.
Mm-hmm.
But great show overall.
Yeah.
I do prefer Worlds Collide, unfortunately, over Money in the Bank. But that's just the bias in me.
Yeah.
But yeah, no. Both shows were great.
Yeah.
Both shows were great. And I'm excited for our next show, which will hopefully be Survivor Series.
And another PLE that was announced at Money in the Bank.
Yes, sir.
We got to give our thoughts and feelings on this. WrestleMania 42, previously held in New Orleans.
Announced for New Orleans.
Yeah. Will now, they have changed it up on New Orleans and said, hey, we'll give you Money in the Bank. We're taking away Mania, and we're going back to Vegas.
That's right. They said, you know what, New Orleans, you are getting your Mania, just not next year.
Yeah.
So, you know, they saw, dude, TKO saw the dollar signs that they brought in, and they were like, we're bringing it back.
I just wanted 1 year to breathe, bro. Like, look, I'll say I'm 85% going. I'm not 100. I'm not 100. Because, like I said, you couldn't have given us a year to breathe, bro.
Don't worry. You have what between now and October for the pre-sale? Let's see. We're in June.
I thought we weren't doing pre-sale.
Well, I mean, you never know. You never know what seats are available. We'll have to see what seats are available with On Location, because they love to, like, squeeze every cent out of us. So
yeah,
we'll have to
it
see.
It was expensive as hell the first year, the one we just went to.
Yeah.
And I imagine they're just going to increase it more. And I'm not thrilled about that. You couldn't have given us just a gap year. I really feel bittersweet about it. I know Shortsy absolutely hates it. who actually should be on the podcast next week, by
hopefully.
The way. Yeah, that's the plan.
Hopefully. We were supposed to have him on this week.
Yeah.
But thanks to some logistics.
We'll be transparent with you guys. Because we're transparent here on the pod. We're going to open baseball cards. Well, cards. We're going to open cards.
All right. Well, if we're opening up the curtain a little bit.
Yeah.
We were supposed to open up boxes of cards. Don't show my address, please. Thank you.
I checked if I had it backwards.
Yeah.
I
do. Yeah, plus, if, I mean, if you did, you just censor over it.
I don't think you can even read it from there, but exactly. It's backwards anyway.
So I got him a box. I told him what box it is. Do I tell them what box it is?
Yeah. So this one's gold label that I have.
2022 Topps gold label. I bought some cards, WWE Topps Chrome. I bought a hobby box, too, actually, for me and Shorty to open on the pod.
The problem is
the store that I bought it from, which, by the way, has an Instagram, so it's not like they're, like, shady.
Yeah.
They haven't even shipped it. Nice. Today, the day we're filming, Tuesday, is the 7th business day, which is the latest day it was supposed
Where
to
be. Where is it located?
Shipped. Arizona.
That's not even that far.
Apparently, they don't have time. But, by the way, they're posting on their Instagram story, so... You know they're open.
Maybe they don't even have boxes. Maybe they're waiting to get a box.
You think letting me know would probably be one of the top priorities as a customer?
It should, yeah.
You would think, right?
Yeah, maybe you should probably put out of stock instead of letting people buy it.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't want to out the store yet, though, because...
I mean, 7 business days to not even ship it.
I know. I mean, things happen, I will say. Things do happen. But if they're not here by the next pod, I'll definitely out them.
Okay.
So I'll give you some time. We'll be courteous.
We've already given you 7, but
yeah, by the way, it was 5/7. So this is technically the last day. And I sent an email yesterday. I sent an email saying like, "Hey,
where's my box?
Where it at though?"
Yeah.
Where it at though? So
yeah,
but I guess we'll see. Shorty's hopefully going to come on the pod.
Yeah. So WrestleMania 42 Vegas.
Oh, back dude. To back.
Here's
dude.
How I found out. I went to go get a refill.
Yes.
Between one of the matches.
I think it was the Lyra one.
Yeah. Just ended. I'm like, okay, cool. I got time to get a refill. I come back. I see this guy. Because he had the aisle seat. I'm walking up the stairs. No match is going on.
Yeah.
And I just see this guy at the top of the stairs like, oh, my God.
Because I look, because Shorts was on his phone.
Yeah.
And I go, I see it. And I see Triple H. And his quote from the promo package was, anything worth doing once or anything worth doing is worth doing again. And when he uttered those lines, I knew what came to my head. Because even Shorty predicted an announcement for Mania.
We're doubling down.
Yeah, at the end, are you ready to double down?
Yeah.
Dude, when he said doing twice, I looked at Shorts, him on his phone. I go, Angel, Angel. Angel! And he looks at me like, what, dude, what? And I go, look! Look! And then he looks, and then you just see the previous videos from, like, the drone filming the WrestleMania posters on the light-up LEDs all over Vegas. I know
exactly what show you're talking about. Yeah. CM Punk's the main poster. Punk,
you see Liv, Roman, and then Angel. I just see him go from looking up to just his eyes widening. And I just know everything coming to him, money being wasted, more money being wasted, gambling with me, gambling with you, gambling with everyone. And he saw the money that he's going to have to waste.
Exactly. We couldn't have had a year to breathe.
So,
but you had a pretty baller move.
Tell him what you did in advance. I don't want to say it. I don't want to say where.
You don't have to say where, but tell him what you did.
So check this out. 2 weeks, about 2 or 3 weeks before the announcement, I decided, you know what? I'm going to book my hotel. So we already knew that WrestleMania was being
moved. It was rumored. Or yeah, we knew it was being moved.
We didn't know where yet. Reports were Las Vegas.
Yeah.
So I think I only told you. I never told Shorty.
Because you were like, I can back out of it.
Exactly.
And get my money back. Yeah.
I told him, I booked my hotel. And you go, bro, it's only May. And we don't know where WrestleMania is going to be. And I go, my money's on Vegas. My money is on Vegas.
Fella literally bet on the location. This fella doesn't stop betting. He bet on the location.
So I literally booked my hotel from Thursday the 16th to Monday the 20th. No dates were announced.
Nope.
Let me mention this. No dates were announced.
Nothing was announced besides it being moved out of New Orleans.
Exactly. So we knew that it was going to... My guess was it was going to be that... Around that time frame of that same weekend.
He's telling me, he's like, yeah, so this is when it was this year. So next year, I think it'll be around this time. So I'm going to book it this weekend.
Exactly. The second that promo ends and you see like the fast forwarding drawing of Vegas with WrestleMania Vegas and it says April. And as I see it go 18, 19, dude, I was spazzing out with excitement like, I called it.
Dude, literally
I called it.
I got the dates.
I got the dates, man. I secured the bag, dude. And my dad was probably scared that like somebody like was like taking over me. But like I called it. I even told him about it. Yeah. I told him beforehand too, like I'm booking it. And I didn't even have to put any money down. I could have canceled it. And you know what? Like, you know what? Whatever. Like, it's an afterthought.
That's crazy.
For $450. For
$100 a night, Friday, basically. Saturday,
Sunday. Yeah.
Yeah.
$110 a night.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about canceling it too because I'm like, the announcement's not going to be for a while. I'll just cancel it.
I called that. I said, I got a feeling they're going to announce it at Money in the Bank.
Yeah, Shorty told me that too. Yeah. So, and so then I got all excited. I go home. Did we talk in the after?
No. Right?
No? When we talked?
We did because I started the party really late because Shorty was like, party guys, party, party. And he never started it.
Yeah, I was waiting for that too, by the way.
Yeah.
And then I started looking at prices because you and Shorts are on that same mindset of how much money is this going to cost me? I look at it, bro, cheapest for the MGM properties. I didn't check every hotel. I just checked the MGM properties. $780. $780. Now, this was post-announcement, so everybody was rushing to book it.
Yeah.
Give it some time. It'll obviously go down.
Yeah.
But the fact that I got it for $450.
Well, and the crazier part is, I don't know what, obviously we're still so far away. I don't know what your plan is. I don't know if you're taking your dad. If you're not taking your dad, I'm sure you'd want one of us to room up with you or something.
We all had our own privacy. So that was really fun to have until Jeff crashed that one night.
I don't give a shit.
No, like Jeff, like he.
No, yeah, I know. But that way, say your dad didn't go and say I stayed with you.
Uh-huh.
Then it's $200 for 4 days for you.
Yeah, but check this out. How much did we spend when we went to go stay at the... Can we say where we stayed at, by the way?
Well, yeah, because we already stayed there.
Okay, I just want to make sure.
Grand Casino and Hotel.
Downtown Grand Casino and Hotel. It was on Fremont, so it was a little bit ways away from the Strip, but not too far. So I think I dropped like, what was it, $650?
About $600.
Yeah. So I'm saving $200 based on last WrestleMania.
Yeah.
So I'm fine with spending $400.
Like I said, if you end up splitting it with me or somebody else, then you're $200.
Yeah, that is true. But... I love the way we all had our privacy too. So like, you know, if I decided to invite Jeff by himself,
I'm not gonna do anything to you, bro. Jeff might.
Jeff might. But you know what? If you won't do anything, that's fine. I'll just keep the door locked.
Okay.
Make sure nobody goes in and nobody goes out. By the way, those chairs, by the way, in our hotel was
sorry, I didn't use mine.
Neither did I, but we toured each other's rooms, except Shortsy, loser.
But yeah, let's highlight that Monday Night Raw after Money in the Bank. We'll just talk about it very quickly, some of the key points. R-Truth coming back, announcing himself as Ron Killings.
Definitely the highlight of the night.
Oh, yeah. I was waiting for it. And what I love about Monday Night Raw being on Netflix, Shortsy was like telling me, he was telling Art the SmackDown before Money in the Bank, oh, you guys are going to miss it. You're going to miss like important stuff, which... Nothing crazy really happened, but
except Stephanie Vaquer being a workhorse.
Yeah, I can't go back and rewatch it.
Yeah, that's the only tough thing about
it. Unless you like record it. But Raw on Netflix, I can watch it whenever I want.
Yeah.
So I went to the Angel game on Monday. First thing I did when I got home, watch Raw. Mm-hmm. I was like, I could just flip it on.
Yeah, and it skips the ads.
Yeah, yeah, it does. It's beautiful. I honestly kind of prefer that I have something on a Monday.
I was able to. You could, the only way you can rewatch SmackDown technically is if you have a VPN.
Yeah.
And then with Netflix. Then, but it's a little bit extra work. But if you're willing to do it, boom, SmackDown's right there.
Yeah. So saw that. And then Cena and Punk in Saudi Arabia.
I know, dude. The fact that CM Punk was in the first promo video for Night of Champions.
Yeah.
Then the next one, he wasn't on it because people speculated, oh, Punk's on the promo video, which means he has to be, and you know, he said some things about Saudi Arabia. Next promo package, he's not in it. So then did Punk back out? Is there no plans? What's going on? Then eventually I guess they did put him back, and now Cena versus Punk.
Yep.
Night of Champions.
Yep. And Gunther winning back the world title. Pretty insane.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. That Raw after Money in the Bank is definitely a good one.
Yeah.
Gunther finally back as world heavyweight champion. This is the first time we've had one of the main titles switch hands on a Raw.
Does the women's heavyweight not count? Because EOB Rhea.
I guess if you want to talk about men specifically.
Okay.
I think the last time was when Big E cashed in.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was probably the last time a men's main title switched hands on weekly television.
Yeah.
So
Bayley returned, attacked Becky.
Yeah. Which, yeah. I mean, I predicted. I was just off by 48 hours.
Yeah.
So.
But going back to the Gunther topic. One, I'm glad Jay didn't tap out. Because I loved how that was kind of a storyline of like, hey, Gunther tapped out. I'm glad it was just like he passed out.
Yeah.
And he didn't like
Stone Cold.
Yeah. And didn't tap. So glad they didn't put that on him. And I feel like how I'm very confident about Naomi cashing in at SummerSlam. I feel like I know where this Gunther title reign is going. It has been predicted for a long time that Goldberg is due to have his retirement match soon.
That is true. Yeah, at SummerSlam, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of predictions have it being Gunther to be that retirement match. So I think they wanted the title back on him. So Goldberg can come back, challenge for the title, have a SummerSlam match. A Gunther,
his retirement match.
Yeah, and Goldberg. It'll be like, I want your world title. Oh, you want my world title? All right. Well, if I beat you, you retire. Ta-da.
Obviously, yeah, like you just said, it was mentioned a while ago.
Yeah.
The only issue that I have with that, I guess not really an issue, it's more of a concern, is that Goldberg hurt himself in training.
How long ago?
I think a couple weeks ago.
Oh.
In training. Like,
well, he still got time for...
The thing is, though, he said like he popped his shoulder out of his socket. Ooh. Or he pulled a hammy or muscle. Damn. Or something. So
damn.
My concern is that it's not going to happen. I want it to happen. Yeah. That way he gets his goodbye.
Yeah.
And then his son's there most likely to watch it. So that's just my concern. I do want it to happen. It's just, you know, concerning if he's healthy or not, which I hope he is.
Yeah.
And ready to go.
Yeah. All right. Well, I want to end this podcast getting a little more serious. I know we're talking about a lot of wrestling, a lot of baseball. We always have fun, lighthearted. But we have a platform. Mm-hmm. And I want to put some attention on this. There's been a lot going down in California. I'm sure you've heard of it if you have a phone, if you're on social media at all. There's been protests. There's been violence. There's been plenty of wrongdoing happening in Los Angeles. And it's pretty simple to me. And like I said, you can add whatever you want to add at any point, but it's easy to tell when wrong is wrong and what's happening is horribly wrong. People being taken away from their families and having their lives ruined because of what is going down with the National Guard and ICE and all those people that are just having their lives destroyed. It's horrible to see. And I know it's something that won't affect me. But like I said, I know when wrong is wrong, and this is wrong. And I just want to make sure that we put it out there, and I don't want to feel like we're ignoring it or anything like that. It's up the freeway from us. It's not far at all. And I know people in my life who it could be affecting, and I have plenty of friends that are Latino, Mexican, and they mean the world to me. They are a big part of my life, many of them, and that's affecting them. And I hate to see it. It literally watching the videos on my phone makes me angry, pisses me off to see all this just happen. And I don't understand how hard it is for people to just love people based on how good of a person you are, no matter the skin color, no matter what you believe in. If you're a good person, why can't we just love people for who they are? I don't get it, but yeah.
Yeah, no, yeah, it's a terrible situation. Obviously, you know, there's always going to be two sides to the story. There's always going to be the people who believe that they're in the right, and then there's another group who believes that they're in the right.
Mm-hmm.
It's a sad situation what we're seeing in Southern California, because a lot of these are not really like the people you'd expect, as in, like, you see the people just walking on the sidewalk. You see people just filling up gas.
Dog, I saw a girl, I think about 20-something, who she is illegal by law. She came here like 4 years old. So how is that her choice? And she made a wrong left turn somewhere. Cop arrested her. And they have her at an immigration detention center. And it's like, seriously? And from everything, like I said, I don't have my head fully dove into all the information. I'm seeing what I see on my phone and what I'm reading and I'm learning as I see it. From what I'm seeing, the law of, you know, being here illegally is just as bad as like a jaywalk or running a stop sign. It's not a criminal offense,
right?
But it's being treated like a criminal offense, and it's unlawful, and it's horrible. And you go ahead, keep going, whatever you're.
So yeah, it's a terrible situation for many because many unfortunately have come in through the wrong avenues.
Especially this area of the country is made off immigrants, and they're more hardworking than the people who were born here. In my opinion.
So many have gone in through different avenues, maybe not the right ones, but you know, for many, some can't wait. Mm-hmm. You know, there are those who go through political asylum, but there are those who go in a different way because not only do they want a different life, but for future, for their future generations.
Yep.
And so a lot of them aren't even terrible people.
No.
Some of them could be your neighbors. No. Some of them could be, you know, you're at the grocery store. Some of them could be your friends that you went to school with and you wouldn't even know unless you asked. Yep. So it's sad to see that, you know, mostly Mexican people are being taken just randomly off the street.
Yep.
Not even questions of, you know, like, oh, who are you? What do you have? Do you have
documentation? Showing up at elementary school graduations. I've seen videos of parents having to run off because they can't. They just have to leave their kid and look, if I get caught here, then it's goodbye forever. And to live in that fear is horrible. The fact that our country is in this state is mind-blowing. I hate to see it. And if you, like I said about me, I won't be affected by it, and I don't have to fear like everyone else that is fearing currently. But all I have to say to those people who are in the shoes that I'm in is imagine yourself in the shoes of the people who are going through that fear. Imagine if you had to live day by day thinking that you could be taken away from your family, from your mom, your dad, your brother, your sister, and do nothing about it. That's horrible. The people that are doing that, I honestly don't know how you sleep at night. I don't know how you feel moral about it. And I know that's what you signed up for, but there needs to be a stand. There's protests going on in LA as we speak. I know I have a friend who is in the mix as we speak, and it's peaceful protest. I see what he is posting and I see what he's telling me, and it's not violent. I saw a reporter, Australian reporter, reporting on everything going on, get shot by a rubber bullet in the leg. No reason. You can literally see in the video, the agent literally raise and boom. So if the violence is coming from anywhere, it's coming from their end, from what I've seen. And I can't believe this is something that people have to deal with. I feel horrible for everybody that does, and I hope we can get past this way sooner rather than later. And yeah, I know we have somewhat of a voice, and sitting back and watching it all and seeing other videos about it is something that didn't sit right with me, so I wanted to talk about it and give some attention to it, because I feel like the more awareness, the better, and hopefully the stronger that makes everybody. So yeah.
Back to what I was saying. Yeah, it just sucks to see, you know, innocent people, you know, albeit they did do the wrong thing, unfortunately, but, you know, are they hurting anybody?
Nope.
The ones that I do believe should be going are the criminals. Obviously, the bad eggs should go.
Yeah.
But, you know, it just sucks because, you know, a lot of these people are hardworking people. These are the people that are providing for their families and providing for their families back home. I know plenty of friends, plenty of family that are sending money back home. They're not just supporting themselves and their loved ones and their kids and their aunts and everybody else. They're sending money back home to their parents because they want them to have a better life. So it sucks to see that the situation that we're in, the situation that we're living in, you know, it sucks, but we just have to keep fighting the good fight. You know, those who are protesting and keeping it, you know, civil, keeping it safe, keep doing it. There are those people who obviously try to mix in and trying to ruin it for some people. They start looting and they start making the good people look bad. And then automatically by association, they start making them look bad. That shouldn't be the case. People are having a safe, non-violent protest. And of course, there are some people who are there even as plants just to look to see if there's anything going on. So I do feel bad for that. And if you are at those protests, I will say stay safe. You know, be sure to take the right precautions. Don't try to start anything. Even if somebody were to antagonize you or just poke you, provoke you in any way, stay safe. Don't feed into their strategy. Don't feed into their propaganda because you're just going to be fueling them. So, and like the National Guard, I'm even seeing some Marines potentially being deployed. So to those who are defending and fighting the good fight, stay strong because this isn't the end. And we're going to keep fighting. Keep fighting for the Mexican people. Keep fighting for the Latinos that you know, the people that you love. I'm even seeing potentially even MLB. Some players are even getting involved and taking precaution because some of their players are under certain visas. And they may be going after them. So even professional athletes are not safe from this. So, yes, I do feel bad. But that doesn't mean we should just, like, give up to them and give up our power. This is the part where we fight, we stay strong, and we have to unite as one. Like I said, be safe. Be sure to fight the right fight. Don't feed into the propagandas. Tell your neighbors. Tell your friends. Tell your friend to tell a friend to be safe. Because right now, these are you know, bad times to be living in. We're seeing them all over Southern California, LA County, San Diego County, Orange County. We're seeing them all over the place. So please just be safe. Be careful. And be sure to tell those that you love them, because it could be the last time that you see them. Hopefully not for the last time, but maybe for a long time. It's not over. This is only the beginning. So please be safe and be sure to fight on and keep fighting.
Yeah. And I know, like I mentioned, it's not something we typically dive into, but it's become such a big situation of sadness and just wrongdoing, and I know we have somewhat of a stage to talk on, so I wanted to make sure we did. And like Cap said, stay safe. And I don't know how and why we can't just live in a world where we love each other based on who you are and your character, and yeah, whatever we can do to not live in a world of hate. I don't know how long that'll take. But, yeah, thank you, everybody, for listening. And if that conversation is something that you were bothered by, then that's something we don't want to be a part of, I would say. And love each other. Stay safe. Thank you for listening. And anything you want to say to send them off? Any last things?
No, just be safe and be careful out there. All right. Love you guys.
All right. We'll see you next week, episode 112.